Yeah. I'm not a dreamer, but I had a dream years ago when I first started going to Emmanuel. And in the dream, the church was packed. And back when I started at Emmanuel, Robert was there, Jim was there, and it was packed, you know, most of the time. And I remember in this dream, everybody had a number on their head, you know, in the seats, in the pews. And what I don't remember much of the dream, but what I remember is what I believe the Lord was showing me at that time was each person was like a minister. And this is true. This is scripturally true, is that each person there would go into their circles, into their world, into whatever environment that they were. And they were a minister in that circle and in that world. But that's what it is to be a believer anyways, right? Is that we have an influence over the people in our lives that we might even back our car into, you know, or the people that we work with and stuff like that. I'm with you. I recognize, you know, and it's funny because you can meet other believers that don't go to Emmanuel or that aren't, you know, within our fellowship or whatever, and you're like, they're a believer, you know, and it's like, that's part of the remnant, you know, and there's probably thousands, there's probably millions, they're everywhere, but it does seem like there's nobody, especially in this environment, you know, and I mean, there's a lot we could talk about today. Thankfully, Jack was late, so we missed all my junk. I think I got all my junk out, so now I can actually give. Yeah. That's probably the best part, actually. No, we did talk a little bit about, you know, just the trials, the troubles, the you know, everything going on with around us. You know, there's the world is falling apart, you know. I don't watch the news media myself, but if you catch yourself watching it here and there, you will be utterly depressed. I stopped doing that 20-something years ago. You know, but you get, you know, in these kind of situations, you know, in trials and troubles, you're watching the news to see, hey, what's, you know, what's going on here? And it's just ridiculous. So, man, a lot of powerful testimonies, but I see the thread, and like I said, I see kind of the heartbeat of what the Lord was showing me this week. Through the scriptures and just through life. So I want to share, I had mentioned Psalm 142, was chewing on this one the other day and in the morning, and we'll kind of read through it real quick. But kind of just to circle around, since we just turned the mic on, I did just read through Art Katz and the exposing that we get, you know, through reading the word, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. And that was kind of the testimony that I had from this week, is as we're reading through Acts in our house church, that we are exposed not even just to the law, but also to the gospel and to, you know, how we're to live our lives now. What's the church look like now? Well, that's what it looks like. Well, I don't look like that. We don't look like that. You know, we're not impacting the world, you know, the way the New Testament, who those guys had no formal education of any sort, you know, a lot of us don't either, you know, so we can read the word and we can see that these bumpkins transformed the world and turned it upside down through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the scriptures. So we're seeing that, you know, we see where we are. We also recognize that it is Christ in us that's doing the work that he began in us. He's going to finish it. That's encouraging for us as we, you know, as every day we have to stand on that and recognize that. Otherwise, we will be discouraged, right? Because we come into his presence, and it's like we read in that deal, Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm an unclean man, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. You know, we're unclean. Lord, we, Jesus, you know, we cling to Jesus, you know, because we recognize our depravity. We recognize apart from him, we can do nothing. You know, and then we talked about that we are in a different program than the rest of the world. We're going to kind of dig into that a little bit. We're just on a different training program. God has us. He's doing something different with us because we've said, Jesus, we want to follow you. We want to go all the way with you. Oh my gosh. Watch out for that one. Yeah. Watch out for that prayer. Yeah. So just kind of reading in Psalm 142, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and behold, and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Okay, and that word know in the Hebrew is like respect or regard. Okay, there's no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. I'll tell you, I'm going to give you the end of this message today right now. Is the title of this message would be God is my refuge, or abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. You're going to see that theme from start to finish, and I hear it in every testimony, and I've heard it all week. You know, I see, and really, quite honestly, in the beginning of this coronavirus deal, Psalm 91 spoke to me, you know, about that abiding under the shadow of the Almighty and that God would protect us from this noise and pestilence. I was pulling out of my driveway. I'll never forget it because I was with Eli, my 16-year-old, and this thing had just started. We didn't even know what we were getting into. But the Lord spoke to me and gave me peace right then on the front side of this chaos. And it wasn't even this chaotic yet. But I recognized a lot of stuff coming down the pipe. And just in the spirit, you know, I was like, this is going to be a mess. And, you know, I remember even telling people we're going to be wearing masks, you know, and I work at Walmart, obviously. So I see thousands of people a day and people were in their homes, you know, snuggled up. And I was looking at a different light because I was getting, you know, hearing from corporate and, you know, just watching a lot of different stuff, whatever it was, you know, in my spirit, I just could see where this thing's going, you know, and I could share a lot about that, but I won't, but there's a lot that I could share about that, there's a lot there. But I'll tell you, I know that everybody's getting a lot right now. But the message is stick close to God. Stay close to Him. Stay in His Word, which was, that's the thing. Because the Word is His, that's what He's building us and making us and creating us to be like Him through His Word. Right? He cleanses us and changes us, encourages us. Everything comes through that word, through the power of the Holy Spirit speaking that word to us. So in 142:5, it says, I cried unto you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge and my portion. In the land of the living. In the land of the living. He is our refuge. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall compass me about, for you shall deal bountifully with me. And just to make this personal, this was really personal, and the Lord used this here just a few weeks ago. I don't remember when I was reading this one morning, but I walk into my store, and there's a people greeter at my store, and she just right off the bat said, Psalm 57. And I said, Psalm 142. And then we kind of laughed a little bit. And then we talked for a minute. And then I moved on and kind of did my daily stuff. And then when I got a break, I kind of sat down and I looked through Psalm 57. And here's what I realized. Psalm 57 and Psalm 142 are both the Psalms that David had written while he was in the cave of Adullam. So if we, you know, I was just kind of in this, and it had really, that Psalm 142 had really spoken to me that morning. So I was kind of like, okay, let's, you know, where's this going, right? So I kind of go back, and you're going to see all this tie together by the end of this message. You'll see, you know, hopefully even in your own lives, you know, what is God doing in our life right now? If you think of David, everybody knows that story in 1 Samuel 22. David, who had been anointed king, you know, at the age of, I don't know, like 15, 16, anywhere from 10 to 15. It probably says somewhere in the Word. I haven't dug that nugget out, but I know it's like somewhere between 10 and 16, right? He was anointed king, right? And he was chosen. He was a small, and he wasn't the one, you know, Samuel went and walked past some taller, bigger, older, better, everything, and went to David and anointed him, right? And there's probably a lot there that I really want to share. But it does say when David was anointed that it said, David was anointed by Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:13 says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So he was anointed from that day, but he wasn't king until he was like 30, right? It wasn't until, and that's in 2 Kings somewhere, I think 5, right? Where it says that he became king when he was 30. So he's anointed king, but then he goes through some time where, guess what? What was he doing during that time? What was David doing from Saul? Did God tell him on the front side, hey, by the way, you're anointed king? He's like, oh man, this is awesome. You know, I'm going to be the king. I'm anointed. Da, da, da. Yeah. Well, he didn't tell him at that time, yeah, but I'm going to have Saul chasing you for the next 10 years trying to kill you. Right? He didn't know that. He didn't tell him that in the front side. You know, God doesn't tell us. That was one of the things I'd said. I'd written down three things that I kind of had seen a theme through this week. Was one of them was God does not explain his training program in advance to the student. Right? He didn't tell him in advance, hey, this is the hardship you're going to go through. I know from my personal testimony, and I told you guys when I first started this message, was I have always taken the easy way. I literally cheated on everything growing up in school. I wasn't a believer. If there was, you know, do homework or go outside and run around in the woods, I'm going outside and playing with my buddies. It was always that way, right? Well, when you become a believer, God had a different plan. And no matter which way you try to go, remember we said he is running the training program. And the training goes on for a lifetime. We've mentioned that one, okay? It's not just for like, oh, okay, I got that one. No. Anybody feel like you keep circling the same stuff? And it doesn't matter whether you pass or fail. We just keep learning and hearing the same messages, you know, the same, whether it's from the Lord, whether it's at church, whatever it is. You know, Pastor Jim, poor guy, has said a lot of the same stuff for many years because he's waiting for us to either get it, which is that, but it's also a fresh reminder every day. Every day we have to remind ourselves, you know, of everything that's in the gospel, right? Every day we get exposed. Every day we remember that Jesus is our everything, right? And that he's our refuge. You know, if you look at David in the cave of Adullam, 1 Samuel chapter 22, and it says, David therefore departed thence and escaped. He escaped, so he's running to the cave Adullam. Or Adullam, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce that. But and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves around David. Okay, so this is David's buddies. You know, all the gripers, complainers, and no. But there was probably some griping and complaining going on. It probably wasn't encouraging. I don't know. But it did say, you know, David was by himself at first, so he was probably really lonely in the cave. You know, in this time, because it says that they, all these people gathered themselves and then came to David. Right? And it said, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And this story struck me also because in my store, there's 400 associates in my store. And when these psalms, you know, when this was speaking to me, and through our daily trials and troubles and hardships and everything we go through, the Lord will use the word to encourage us. Mm-hmm. And he'll use the word to teach us. I heard one time somebody say that, and I forget, I'm going to completely botch this story, but it was a preacher that back in years ago that would do these tent revivals, and he would just preach about how the word is all you need. You don't need anything else. And as he's preaching this, the massive gust of wind came, like that came just a few minutes ago, and just blew away his tent. And he goes to get the tent, and he goes to set the tent back up, and they're like, what are you doing? And he said, well, in Isaiah it says to expand your borders and widen your tent stakes, or something like that, right? And the tent stayed. So his whole message was, and it's true, and it is my belief, everything we need is right here in this word. Everything to live our lives is right here. We know that, right? And we know that this word is gold, diamonds, and it's perfect for us, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to interpret it and to teach us and to have it go into our hearts and convict us and change us. And you know, David's just an interesting guy. So we talked about David being anointed at 16 or whatever age. He doesn't get to be king till 30, so he's going through this amount of years. It seems to be a common place for a lot of believers. I know for us, and that's what we're talking about, is the training plan that God has for our lives, and it's different for every person. But I'll tell you, it's probably better to know on the front side that there is a training plan, and we're on a different program than everybody else. You know, and one of the misunderstandings that whatever we're going through, that other people aren't going through that, or they can't relate to that, or I'm by myself in this. No, we all are going through trials, troubles, tribulations. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. In this world, you're going to have troubles. in this world, he told us, hey, in this world, guess what? Heads up, you're going to have some hardships. But be a good cheer because I overcame them. You know, so, you know, I mentioned at the beginning, the people that came in to the kingdom through the prosperity message, it's sorry, there's more. There's more. But it's also not a bad message either because God is, he has a lot of benefits. And he does provide, like Lynn said, you know, he provides for us. You know, we in fact, it's more and more that we learn to rely on Jesus and not ourselves. You know, God willing, that's a blessing. That's his mercy. You know, I think it's interesting too, just another thing about that is that God didn't immediately put David in place. He didn't immediately replace Saul and put David in. No. No, there was a time, right? It was like a harvest. It was the seed goes in, then it grows. You know what I mean? That didn't just happen just overnight. So there's a time period for that. We won't read Psalm 57, but it says, you know, somewhere in there it says, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in thee. Yea, in the shadow of your wings. That word shadow is sail. T-S-A-L-E. It's a Hebrew word. It's shadow, and it's an interesting word. And it's a word that I'm finding intertwined between a lot of the scriptures that I'm reading today and just kind of what even starting with Psalm 91, you know, abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. That word shadow is T-S-A-L-E. It's a protection. It's his protection. You know, and it's funny because one connotation that I hear or think about when I think about Psalm 91 is this little bird, this little helpless bird that's in the shadow of the Almighty, right? And we're like that. We're like that little bird that's helpless and cannot do anything apart from Christ. You know, so it's an amazing thing to think, well, we can do all things through Christ. We can, and God will. And it's amazing to be, you know, when we do things that are bold and that are, you know, because I can be in the corner sucking my thumb in 1 minute, and the next minute I'm bold as a lion.
Right. That's true.
You know?
Totally.
Psalm 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge.
Hallelujah.
And my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So it's funny, you know, me getting that word back in March when Corona first started gave me peace, you know. But I didn't have 100% peace throughout everything for the next months, 4 months. No, my soul was in turmoil. You know, I was ticked about the masks for the first month. And I mean, like, I was walking around my store, and I was with my management team, and my wife and my kids, they were tired of hearing me talking about that. And I told everybody, I said, heads up, everybody will be wearing masks. They're like, no, he's wearing masks, you're being negative. I was like, everybody's going to be wearing masks. It's coming, you know. And like I said, just you see a lot of different stuff where I work. You see a lot of different things quick. You know, I remember touring with my team around my store, and it was in the morning, and I got to the front, and I said, you know, guys, I believe wholeheartedly in rejoicing in everything giving thanks. And I have been the biggest grouch about masks. And I determined right then, and I didn't say these words to them, but I determined right then, I'm going to be a believer in the midst of the masks, in the midst of everything. And it was a change for me, because I went into World Market with Liam and Eli to pick something up for my wife, and I had to wear a mask, you know, because it's the rule. And I go in, and the manager sees me, and I had taken it down for a minute to get a breath of air. He's like, hey, you need to put, and I wanted to just, you know, we were talking about cussing and all this. The old man was about to come out. I wanted to punch him in the face, right? And then I walk on, and I see him go in the back room, and then I stop, and my kids, and I'm going after him. So I go. And he's coming out, and he's going this way. So I'm like, you know, and my kids are watching me. They're like, oh, geez, Dad's going to get him. So I go up to him, and I'm like, his name was Song. And I said, Song, do you like the masks? He's like, oh, well, it's just a necessary thing, you know. Pretty soon it's going to be like ventilators. He'll probably come out with a helmet. I said, I'm not wearing a helmet. I'm not wearing a ventilator. You know, and he we had about a 30-minute conversation. I told him I was a believer, and he judged me, and, you know, this and that. He was a Buddhist guy. It was a good conversation. It was a really good conversation. So I don't, you know, I'm not, I love the people that are loud and mouthy about that, even in my stores. You know, like I said, I could talk about this for a long time, but my whole thing is, I refuse to be negative or downcast about anything. You know, you read the stories about the Corrie Ten Booms who's in the concentration camps, and she's just a light in a dark place.
Yeah.
You know, guys, we're in this.
Amen.
This world is falling apart. It stinks. It's been this way for years. It's not any different. It's getting worse. Yeah, but we're just to be the light in a dark place. Have fun. Rejoice. You know, we got to laugh through this thing. You know, we take it way too seriously. We take ourselves way too seriously. It's a mess, you know, but have some fun. I tore the inside of my mask out. I guess it's barely even hardly a thing. It's just kind of a thin thing, you know. I was trying to think, how can I? No, but like I said, anybody wants to talk about this later, I have lots of stuff to share and great stories. And, you know, I do, you know, well, God's good. I mean, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. I know I have family members that have died of it, you know. So I have said from the very beginning I have zero fear of it. But also, that's from the Lord, you know. It's not that I don't have, you know. It's just I don't care what it is. Call it whatever you want to, you know. It's God's greater and He's bigger, and He already spoke to me something about it. So I trust Him. You know, there's a contrasting T-S-A-L-E in the Bible, sail, in Isaiah 30, where they took shadow in the wings of Egypt, and it was a rebuke, and Egypt will fail you.
Right.
You know, so it's an interesting story. I think it's 30, verse 1, 2, and 3, the first few, maybe to 5, I don't know. But God has made it to where our refuge is in Him, and there is no security in this world. So we can take, you know, wherever we work, whatever occupation we do. You know, I had a guy the other day that used to work for my company, and he came up to me, and he works for another company now. And here's a young kid, and I didn't have anything to say to him. You know, I just kind of stood there. It was no big, I don't care one way or the other, you know. But I just didn't have really any words to say to him. And I was even thinking this morning, driving here, I know what I would say to him now. It doesn't matter about what job, what company, what college. It doesn't. And this hit me this morning. I will forever know this and say this. It doesn't matter what college, what school, what whatever you're saying is this. No, get the right God. Get Jesus. That's it. That's all that really matters. It doesn't matter if you work at Racetrack or Walmart or, I mean, it don't matter. It's get the right God. Get Jesus. Get close to Him. You have Him.
Everything.
There's no telling. God uses all kind of crazy places for training grounds for His people. There is nothing but that in this world. There's really not anywhere else to go that's not a training ground. Because even you go to a seminary, sheesh. You go to a homeschool community. Oh my gosh, I could tell y'all stories that would make your head spin about just no. There is no place to go or hide except for in God. He is our only refuge. He is our only refuge. But we will try to find shelter in the homeschool community or in the Christian school or in the wherever it is that we try to find something. And the Lord will show you at some point in time soon that there is no refuge even there.
That's right.
You know, there's nothing but God. And that's an exciting thing to come to. It's depressing, but it's exciting. It's good because it's the death of ourselves. And that's what we talked about at the very beginning was we don't want to face the cross. We sidestep the cross. We go around the cross. We don't want to suffer. And that's the result of why we end up where we are. And the avoidance of that cross creates much more havoc and pain than it does to just go. And because with no cross, there's no resurrection. So we have no cross. There's no glory after the suffering, right? So we can, and when we're going through the trial, when we're going through the suffering, we've learned to rejoice. We just say it with our mouth. Because you can read it all throughout the Psalms where David's like, oh, geez, woe unto me, Lord, this is bad. But he always says, but thanks be unto God. He is my refuge. He's my deliverer. He's my strong tower. I like that song that Alex was singing this morning, that He's our strong tower, He's our refuge. I don't remember what song it was, but yeah, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. It's good because he's our refuge.
Yes.
And so if there's a message today, it's just that, you know, he's our refuge. We're not in the same training program that everybody else is, and we will daily be exposed to the fact that we are not Jesus. We are not God.
Yeah.
You know, but we're also reminded daily that he is in us to willing to do of his good pleasure, and he does come through us and impact people and impact our people around us, and we give him all the glory because we know that wasn't me. I know me. I know me. I'm very acquainted with me, and that wasn't me. So that was him. So we give him all the glory. Say, that was Jesus. That was him. We deflect it quick because it was not us. You know, I get that a lot of times. I'm sure you guys too. You know, whether people think you're great or they think you're horrible, it doesn't really matter. It's what does God think about us. And he is in love with us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's what we stick to. Because the people that think we're great don't know us, or at least they don't know us in every situation. And the people that think we're horrible don't know us, or they don't know Jesus, maybe, okay? Or they know the real us, okay? But if they were around, they can just ask my wife. She'll tell them, yeah, he ain't that great, you know? Spouse can tell you. They'll give you the real skinny.
So Lord, help us.
Yep. Amen. Amen. It's funny. In Isaiah 53, it says that Jesus was not comely. And he wasn't, we didn't love him because of his beauty. He was despised and rejected. You know, I think about, and in John, it's 14, John 14, Philip says, Jesus, show us the Father, and then it'll suffice us. They weren't satisfied with Jesus. You know, they knew him as a man that had a coat and ate food, and you know, they knew him in that way. And in a certain way, we're more blessed. You know, we think, gosh, if Jesus was just here, you know, if Jesus was right here with us. No, he was right there with the disciples. And Philip said, hey, if you just show us the Father, then we'll be sufficed. Jesus said, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, it's funny because even in the communion, you know, we're about to take communion, but I think about, you know, just we pass the communion around, we open the little thing, we got the little wafer, but there's a power in that communion. You know, it's that same power that we despise the small things. We despise the things that don't glitter and glow like this world has to offer. You know, Jesus wasn't somebody that, you know, we would think, man, he's great. If we thought he could save us from our current situation, be the king over this thing and change the country and da da da, then yeah. But as soon as that's not what he came for and says, no, that's what, then we're going to kill you. You don't recognize you as God. So we're blessed to have Jesus.
Amen.
Who's our Lord, our Savior, who died for us, you know, and we have daily can be with him, and he's daily with us. So, you know, when we take the communion today, the reality is there is so much to talk about on both sides of that, the whole thing, right? And that's why it's called a noisome pestilence. It's just a mess and a noise. Yeah, no, it's, you're right, Raul. So God is good. It says, let's see. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So let's go ahead and take of the body. It says, after the same manner also he took the cup. And we had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So Father, we thank you for this little bread and this little cup, which in the natural is nothing. It doesn't look like anything. It's just a small wafer. But Lord, we thank you that your word is tied to it. And your word says, take, eat, and we remember you. We remember your body that was broken for us and your blood that was shed for us. And we're grateful and thankful, Lord. And when we're not, you make us. You create in us. You're making us who you created us to be, Lord. You're changing our hearts. You've changed our hearts 100% in our spirit. And you're changing us in our soul, Lord. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Lord, we thank you that you are the full, full Lord and Savior that is making us, who's finishing the work that you began in us, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory, Lord. We thank you for all these testimonies today and for your word and for your scriptures that provide a refuge for us. And that we don't have to be in despair for the trials and the troubles and the noise that goes on in this world. We just can quietly come to you and sit in your presence, and you lead us beside still waters. So we thank you, Lord, that you're our shepherd. You're our perfect shepherd. And we're not wanting anything else because we have the perfect shepherd. So we thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us and for making us who you've created us to be, because we'd be wild otherwise. So we thank you, Lord, that this family, this church, this group just says, Lord, we're following you. Our heart is fixed, like it says in Psalms 57, because you've replaced our heart with a new heart, like Raul said. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We pray for this week, for every person here, our other brothers and sisters that aren't here, for the church, that the fire that you are and are in us, that it would just blaze and purify us and change us and cleanse us, and where we're not in the way of your Holy Spirit wanting to speak and move through this world. So we love you, Lord. We thank you, and we want our hands and our tongues to be used by you. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you.
Yes, Lord.
We love you, Jesus. We praise you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Glory to you.